Hi, ladies and gentlemen, witches and wizards, and welcome to Nom Watch Review, part of Nom Talk Network. On this show, we review the latest film drop or throwback, celebrating a milestone while eating and drinking our favorite movie snacks and drinks. Don't permit, admit, blah, 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 I apologize. Blah, blah. Ooh, wow, let me get my soul back there and my breath. Don't forget that we have merch you can find in our shop in the About section on Twitch, or get the link by typing merch in the chat. Note that subscribers to our Twitch channel get discounts. I'm your host, Alejandro Cowie. Today we are talking about Hellboy 2004. Let me actually mention my snacks here because I got a little bit of a hell of a smorgasbord over here with some little Doritos and pickle flavored chips and some gummies and some brownies and some snickerdoodles and some gummies. And then I also have a little bit of a Abe Sapien drink water there. Ha ha, theming, I had to do it. But with me, I have three fantastic guests. I would like to introduce each of them. First right here would be Yaya. Introduce yourself, my friend, and what you're having with us today.
So I'm Yaya. So today I'm eating my dinner. So I have some pork, some veggies, some egg and tomatoes, and then I have a little drinky drink, which is just peach green tea
Ooh,
from
you have
Lollicup.
so much, so much healthier food than I do.
Not sponsored. Lollicup sponsor us. If you hear my dog, no, you don't.
Course not. Of course not.
But yes, but yeah, I'm so excited to be here. I got my little Abe Sapien right here. So excited.
Right on.
I love Abe.
Fantastic.
If I could bring my sentry eggs out right now, I would, because he loves sentry eggs and I do too.
What I love is that you had this natural innocence in your voice, like, oh, I had this, and you're like, yeah, I love it. Just like the passion immediately. That was
Yes.
fantastic. I love it. Abe is awesome. Next, Ren, would you introduce yourself, my friend, and what you're having with us today?
Hi, my name is Ren. I currently have strawberry pocky. I don't know, can you see it? Yes, strawberry pocky. I'm also drinking a strawberry royal milk tea. I don't know if you can see
Ooh,
that. It's
ooh.
very tasty. But then I also have like these little tiny sesame candies. And
Ooh.
to somewhat balance out all the sweetness, cuties.
What I love is that your whole getup fit, like your background, matches your snacks. I love it.
It
I love it
does.
so
Really.
much. It's so great. Tony, and last but not least, please introduce yourself and what you're having with us today.
I just need a first comment on Ren and like the fact that like all these snacks were so luxurious, and then it was like, and to keep away the scurvy, an orange.
Yes.
Just keep away the scurvy.
I love that. It's amazing. Congrats. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Sanchez, and I already ate. I had a very, very early dinner. So right now I'm just chilling on my beverage right now. And we went to Universal last week, and so I loaded this up. And what
Nice.
it is that it's actually watered down grape green tea.
Ooh.
And I love this so much, but I'm hitting that moment. I'm hitting that phase where like everything is just like so overstimulating, including flavors. So as much as I love this tea, I actually just have to water it down, which is great though, because it really like this is like three of these right in here. So, and it's delicious. So yeah, very happy with my choices today.
Right on, right on. Well, I like to say that like I'm the most unhealthy mofo of all four of us here. You guys have very hydrated, healthy, non-heavy preservative snacks here with my Doritos, my brownies. I
Mountain
love it.
Dew
I love
Baja
it.
Blast. Good
Baja.
Cool Ranch
Yes.
Doritos hits the spot some time ago.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I'm telling you, sometimes it's so bad, it's good. Man, oh man. So let's go ahead and start off with the popcorn bucket ratings with this here. I'm gonna go ahead and just get off throw mine out there really quick. I got a 4 out of 5 popcorn bucket. I'll explain a little bit later on this here. Tony, what is your popcorn bucket rating, my friend?
My popcorn rating is 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Excellent. Yeah, yourself.
Dude, I was saying if I can give this an infinite amount of popcorn bucket, I would, because I'm so biased. So, but I unfortunately did put just 5. I wish I can give it more.
A lot of passion, a lot of excellent, excellent. And Ren, yourself, my friend, what are we at with five out of five popcorn buckets?
Solid four for me.
South four?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. All right. So as you can see, everybody, we got a pretty good opinion of the film necessarily in this as well. With this too, I have to bring this up. 2004 is my, I don't have to age myself, it's my graduation year. That's the year I graduated. So I got a lot of memories with this year. Essentially with me, I introduced on my graduation year itself. I don't know if you guys remember, it was called like a PlayStation Portable, like a little PSP thing.
PSP, I have one
Yeah,
right
man.
here.
Yeah, oh my, oh
I
God, you
have mine right
ah,
here.
you have one.
I
Oh my God.
do.
Oh Lord. Oh, the fact that you have it near you is fantastic. Yeah, so
It's
the PlayStation Portables, they're just like a huge, if you can imagine a Nintendo Switch, a little bit smaller in a sense with that. You had this thing called the Ultra Mini Disc, a UMD, and with one of them came a Hellboy. It came free with it as well. And I don't know how many times I've watched it over and over and over again. Then the fact that I watched it in theaters, so it was really great too as well. So the whole nostalgic feel and concept was really great when it came out. And it's just one of those things that really stuck with me. But Tony, I
Oh, I
want you
don't
back
have
to you,
it.
my friend. It's okay. It's okay.
It's inside. It's
Yeah.
inside, but I do have the
See, that's very close though. I mean, they're almost
Yeah.
like, in a sense, because they both used UMD discs, I think, right? Yeah.
I don't know. The Vita was actually similar to the Nintendo like cartridges.
Oh,
But
right on.
yeah, the PSP used like it had like a little
The
CD
little
inside the
CD
thing.
inside
Yeah.
the thing.
But
Yeah,
like
the
it
little
is inside though.
cartridge.
I know it, I know where it is, it's just not here.
Yeah, oh my God, I think I burned the Hellboy into the memory of that damn thing. But goodness gracious. But going out that Tony, go into how were you introduced to this film, my friend?
2004, I would have been I think in my first or second year of college. And at that point, I remember going to the movies a lot. So I'm like 99% certain that I saw this in the theaters. And then this was also at the peak of my DVD collecting, which my college, we used to have what was called Market Wednesdays. And there was a guy who pulled up and he would buy, sell, trade DVDs, and they were insanely cheap. You could get them for like 5, 8 bucks a piece. So I just loaded up on Wednesdays. And I definitely remember having this in my DVD collection, watching this in my little dorm room. And I loved this movie, even though I wasn't like, I was familiar with Hellboy to a point. Like most comic book readers, you're kind of like aware of like a lot of characters, even though you're not like an avid reader. So this was definitely one of those for me. I liked the movie a lot, but to me, it was kind of like peak early millennium. Where like the CGI is really good, but also it's kind of like, oh, we're a little wonky, a little uncanny valley, even though we didn't really have the vocabulary for that at the moment. And I just remember this being like kind of one of those movies that we all knew as it was happening that this was going to be one of those cult classics, like flying under the radar. It pulled numbers, but nothing crazy. And this is definitely like post Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Post, the first X-Men movie. So the superhero genre, comic book genre was kind of like just first kind of taking off, but not really, not to the extent that we would later see with like, the first Marvel movie. So I liked it. It was definitely something I enjoyed with my friends. And I remember thinking like, I cannot wait for this sequel. And yeah, I was really pumped when that sequel came out, even though, like, yeah, I have varying opinions about the entire Hellboy franchise as a whole. But this movie, I really remember just being like, why is there so much happening in this movie? Holy crap. And it just felt like, even though I know this movie is less than 2 hours in runtime, it feels like I've been like in a time, like it's that Bermuda Triangle thing. We're like, we were flying for 17 minutes. It's next Thursday, Bob. Like, it's a total time warp.
I get that. I get
Yeah,
that.
so it just felt like there was so much happening, so much to dissect, so much to think about. And I just, yeah, I really, really enjoyed this movie.
Right on, right on. I ran with you, my friend. Where were you around, or what memories do you have associated with this movie, with you when this movie came out?
Oh my God. Okay, so Guillermo del Toro was like one of my dad's favorites director during that time because he was like, my father is Peruvian and he's very much into Mexican cinema. And so Guillermo del Toro, being obviously like a really big Mexican director, he did Mimic in a lot of other series, and my dad really loved them. So when he found out that he was doing Hellboy, even though he didn't know anything about the comic series, he was like, oh, well, it's done by my favorite director, so we're going to watch it anyways. So I think I was like in middle school or freshman year of high school when we went to go watch it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I love this. Rewatching it again, I'm like, oh wow, I was so young. I miss my dad. You should call him. That's kind of like the vibe I got.
Yeah.
So it's really good.
That's good. Oh, I always like this vibe. We had to call our family, so that's always a good thing. Oh, I love it, love it, love it. Yeah, you with you, my friend. Let me get past these little onion cutting over here. Thanks, freaking Ren. With your history with this film when it came out, what would you remember, my friend?
Oh my gosh. So I did not watch this in theaters. I remember, I think it was either 2004, I was in middle school. So either, okay, it wasn't Block, I probably was Netflix then, when Netflix used to ship out the DVDs to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my
Yes.
God.
I love it. Yes.
So I remember, I think it was like, when Netflix, we were like just picking DVDs, and like, my mom happened just to pick this one, because my mom is really into was really into sci-fi and these kind of stuff. And so I remember watching it. At first I was kind of like, what is this? Because this is kind of for me, the transition from watching only cartoon movies to finally watching live action, because prior to this I didn't really, yes, it was that transition period when I was finally like, why is this live action? Why isn't this a cartoon? Why isn't this Disney? But I remember mom putting it in the DVD player, and then the whole family watching. I remember just like being enthralled by it. It like changed my brain chemistry. It changed my life. It altered my soul. Like, that's why I'm like so biased. Like, for some, like, this movie is my ultimate like comfort movie. Like, this and legit Phantom of the Opera are the two movies I always say, like, oh, what's your favorite films? It's Hellboy and Phantom of the Opera. And so I just remember loving it, getting instantly obsessed, instantly hyper fixated, instantly falling in love with Abe, because he was amazing. Even though he was only but I remember, yeah. And then after that, I went to Borders when Borders was still around, bought the
Oh
comic
yeah.
books. I
Oh,
still
I
have the
like
comic.
Borders. Borders was so fun too. Sorry
Borders
about
was so
that.
fun. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so I just remember just falling instantly in love. And it was just, and it's still to this day, like, this is my, I still watch this over and over. I do not get sick of this movie. And with the second one, so I remember when the second one like was coming out, I remember like being obsessive. I went out and like, made t-shirts with Abe's face on it so I could wear it to the theater on opening. I remember like finding Doug Jones's like fan sizes before like Cameo and that kind of stuff, like his website with his little thing, and he was updating like filming, and I was like, oh my God, like, what is, and it's just my life.
That's so cool. No, that's great. Oh God, see, I love movies though that can excite us to that level. You know, the fact going back in, like example, Tony mentioned before, there's so many things that we can bring up this film and probably talk about it for like 2.5 hours. I mean, you could see Tony's eyes go back and start cranking on your opinions. Like, no, oh, wait, hold on, I didn't want to say anything. You can just, I love those, and your excitement that you have with this here, and it's just fantastic. On the note, three things here. I want to go back into our area over here. We have Q-Ball saying, hey guys, how's it going? He said, I had some KFC. Heartless 7-0 there. We know who you are, my friends. Hey y'all, miss your faces. Haha, I love y'all. And 4 out of 5, love this movie. Can always go back again and again. Now, the reason why he's ha 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 is because he decided to Q-Ball. Well, actually, he said hi. It's actually Q-Ball redeemed this. Wait, no, hold on. Let me flip this
No.
over. He's redeemed talking third person. So he also said, miss your faces. Love y'all. So what we're
Heartless.
gonna do here, so
It's
what we're gonna
Heartless
do,
that redeemed it, isn't it?
yeah, heartless. Yeah, I said QY accent, I apologize. I'm fired, oh no. But that being said, how we're gonna work on this third person thing is with the next question here. We're gonna go ahead and just for the audience watching now, just a brief we're gonna go ahead and kind of cliff note the actual film itself, just to briefly so we can actually talk and have opinions on this. Because we know there's a lot of you that never already seen this film, and sometimes we understand that just kind of going over it and over it like an hour again may just got a little creative and a little boring. So hopefully we'll go ahead and cliff note it, have some interesting conversation bring up, and for you that are joining in, please let us know anything we talk about. We love it. On that note, so to start off the beginning, just of the film, we're pretty much introduced to a very dreary, rainy Scotland era that we know in general that is with the United States military during, I believe, World War II. It's told in the very beginning that, you know, things are not always as they seem, and then we see this you know, classic concept of an individual man that's not very clear on his name at the time being with the United States military going towards what they thought was nothing but, I would say, ruins and, sheep and just nothingness. Reality, they find what looked like Nazi insignia soldiers with the actual what looked like what they were looking for, quote unquote. In this midst of it, we see this area that's actually constructed with multiple things, insignias, equipments, Nazi soldiers, multiple things. We see that Rasputin is there at the time the character is playing it. We also see particular characters that are not initially announced right off the bat there, but there is a quite a slew of them at the time being. In this midst of this whole thing here, it turns out that we see that both the Allied forces and the Axis forces, opposing forces, start duking out with weapon-wise. We are looking at a crazy armored metallic assassin when we find out later who is that is taking multiple out soldiers, American soldiers that are going it. We see a hero that looks like to be a classic scientist, which we figured out to be Professor Broom, heading towards what, once again, we are trying to figure out if necessary what he's reaching for. And then we see Rasputin along with his, I would say, I'm going to call him minions right now, at the time being with Nazi soldiers, fighting back. That all collaborations, booms, explosions, crazy things happen. Grenade gets somehow taken out of a guy's pocket, hits the ground, and explodes the initial area where we think this portal is about to open. We are hinted that this portal is going to be open to another netherworld. What I call this Cthulhu-like character is actually out there, looked at. So, side note, something about colossal-like characters that their size of Godzilla scared the living shit out of me. I don't know what it is. I don't care what kind of CGI thing, but you show me some kind of tiny thing that I know actually how tall it is. You put it next to a thing that happens to be an eyeball, that terrifies the living daylights out of me. But I digress. That being said, we see that this portal is shut down, and we see that your Rasputin is sucked into this world, right? And we're like, oh yeah, you save the day. It's fine. But amidst the rubble and dead bodies, the allies are walking around. It looks like the bad guys ran away, and they run into this little corner, this crevice area, where they hear this creature-like name that they think it's some kind of like. They don't know what it is. The soldiers are freaking out. They're pulling out their weapons. They're freaking out. But Professor Broom at the time is like, no, don't shoot it, don't shoot it. He pulls out of his pocket what happens to be a Babe Ruth, and he starts coaxing out now. Now I have to ask you three here. Coming from a perspective, if you are an unknown creature, you're in this dark, dark area, right? And this, and you're just scared out of your living daylights. I'm gonna start off with you, Yaya, on this here. Is there any particular snack or food that would coax you out at all?
Oh, see, now it has like the idea, like, what do I have on me on like in that moment? And I'm an old Chinese lady, so all of everything I have on me is like medicinal, so I'm probably gonna be dead. Like, the thing's gonna maw my face because
No.
it.
One question. If you were the creature, if someone was trying to coax you out,
Oh,
what food would coax you out?
okay.
Yeah, like what is your
Oh,
thing? Yeah, what if you were Hellboy, what would coax you out of a deep dark crevice?
well,
If
okay. What would coax me out? Probably tanghulu. It's like a Chinese, like, the hawthorns that's like covered in like sugar. That's like a very traditional Chinese snack that's been around since the dynasties. Yeah, it's called tanghulu or candy hawthorns.
And what is it exactly again?
So they're hawthorns. So hawthorns are like little date-like fruits. They're kind of tart. And so in Chinese culture, like throughout the dynasty, this snack has been around since like probably the Han Dynasty. And then they coat it in like sugar, so it's like candy. It's like, it's melted sugar, so it has like a crispy, like, hard exterior that's sweet, and like it really goes really well with the tartness of the hawthorns, and it's just
Oh,
so
that sounds
good.
so delicious. Oh, as I'm getting lost in that thought, because that sounds so yummy. I'm gonna also reiterate that I'm gonna start with a third person talk. I'll start throwing with what coaxed me out. You're okay, because I totally forgot to mention that. So as I use myself as an example, I'm gonna then ask the questions to both Ren and Tony, just heads up. So I'm gonna go ahead and wing this third person right off the bat. All right. So that sounds very delicious, by the way. Yeah, that sounds really good. I've never heard. Oh my Lord. You have to talk later. We have to talk later. I definitely would love to try that myself. Okay, so if Alejandro was Hellboy, I don't know. Alejandro is a very, very basic meat and potatoes kind of guy, but for some odd reason, Alejandro talks. I mean, you ask anybody that knows Alejandro, working a shift, I will walk up to him and I talk about esquite, or Alejandro talks about esquite, and Alejandro talks about chili cheese tater tots. So if somebody came up to Alejandro out there and had like a big bowl and it was just like chili cheese tater tots or hash browns and esquite on the top, man, I would be like my cat Apollo. I'd be your best friend. I'd sit in your lap. I'd be, let's go, let's go. I don't care what's going on. This is a tasty food. You're a good person. That gets that. Yeah, Alejandro would definitely jump out of that. All right, I'm gonna start with Ren on this one. Ren, if you could please talk to third person view. Thank you, by the way. We know who you are, the seven. On speaking in third person, what food would coax Ren out of a deep, dark place? And Ren, if you can speak third person.
Well, Ren has depression, so Ren's always in a deep, dark place. So the thing that gets
That is fantastic and horrible.
You're welcome.
Was not expecting that. I was always in a deep and dark place. Thank goodness I wasn't eating my food at the time being chocolate. Excellent. 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 Tony, for you, my friend, if you were in Hellboy's position and being coaxed out in a deep dark place, were there any food that actually coaxed you to come out? And if you could please speak in third person.
Tony is very much an ADHD kid. Tony likes a hyperfixated meal. So Tony very much like has those meals that they will eat like for weeks straight. And it always changes. So, for example, Tony had a moment where it was like 2 weeks straight where she was just eating just sandwiches, any sandwiches, all the sandwiches. At that point, Tony had their boyfriend change the name to like experiment. What's the Reuben in the little Reuben? There, you know, in the Lilo and Stitch movies where there's the different experiments and one is called Reuben because they're fixated, yeah, obsessed with sandwiches. So yeah, that was that for that moment. Tony also had this most recent thing where chicken katsu curry was the jam. Love chicken katsu curry. I think that's probably like my favorite, or that's Tony's favorite dish, like of all time. But also Tony is Seminole. Tony is indigenous, and Tony loves fried bread. And because Tony does
Oh,
not get fried
fried
bread
bread.
often, that is probably the thing that would coax a little demon Tony. And trust just a random white 1940 scientist into just jumping down and becoming adopted if they just started laying down fry bread.
Down
Yeah.
fried bread. You
Just leaving
like, I
chunks
just
of fry bread like a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't blame all three of you on this because I'd be full on golem like my precious if someone pulled out some freaking esquite and chili cheese tater tots. Oh my God, Ren's still killing me with the whole already
I
deep
know,
dark
that
place.
was
Oh my God,
fantastic.
you guys are great. All
Have you
right.
seen the TikTok? It's like the lady throwing down the tea bags, like, oh, I hope a hot Englishman doesn't follow me.
Oh my God. Okay, so here's the deals. We got some crazy three things coming in here. So Heartless, huh, thank you, my friend, has redeemed Hydrate. So hydrate, my friends. Don't dehydrate. Take a nice drink. Gonna chug that one. Oh my goodness. I actually needed that. All that laughing. Oh Lord. Okay, so I'm gonna give you time to think about this one. All three kind of stop for a moment. Ren, cue ball has redeemed. You're so punny. So when we get to the next question, you do
Okay.
not have to be stuck about talking about puns the whole time, but please see if you can come up with a good one or a few good ones before or after your next opinion or next statement. That'd be a-okay if that's okay with you, but take your time, no rush on that as well. So Heartless also redeemed suggest a poll. Which Hellboy do you think is the best or the worst? Oh man, why do you gotta do to all four of us? I saw everybody's face right when I looked up in there. I saw all the faces cocked to the side for a minute and think for a brief second here. So, real quick here before we actually go into this, because I don't want to see mudslinging competition here. I want to say, oh my God, because the poll is which Hellboy do you think is the best or worst? Okay. If we can do this in response to the shortest responses possible, because I understand there's a lot of heaviness that's in here. And I'm assuming he's talking about the remake of Hellboy. If that is correct, let me look at the screen here. Heartless, can you confirm with the next 30 seconds if he is, are you confirming whether it's the new remake of Hellboy or are we talking about Hellboy 2? So,
Or the
as he's,
animated series.
and there's anime,
Ooh.
well, as we get the clarification of that real quick there. So, we go ahead and we get to this point, we see the introduction
Carlissa,
of,
yes. It's like,
yes.
yes.
Okay, so I'm okay then. Okay, we are talking about the remake, and then okay, cool. I'll go ahead and so start real quick here, just because, and I'm assuming that all you know with the amount of nerdy knowledge that all my three amazing friends have here today, they'll ha definitely have an opinion on this. So, long story short, I have when it comes to it, I'm just a Del Toro fan. Ron Perlman kind of is and always has been my Hellboy, not because I think he's a better Hellboy. It's just who I grew up with. No shade at the new Hellboy release. However, there are some things that you know changed. Producer Steph and I got to see this movie almost a year and almost a half a year early. So when we saw it, there was a lot of CGI that wasn't inputted and stuff that was missing. So the comps, you know, the lead of the new Hellboy, the remake was great. I can't think of the name at the moment. I know him from
David
Stranger
Harbour.
Things. Thank you very much. I appreciate you, Tony. So, like I said, I there's no shortness in great acting from him. So I think he's a very, very passionate actor in that regard. So he did give it justice in that sense. But personally, I hate saying what's the worst. What I would say the you know what's worst or what's better. But I only am going to say that Hellboy with Del Toro 2004 is better in my heart. Just because of what I was growing up with. Yahya, you hit the nail on the head. I didn't get a chance to say this earlier, but this and Pan's Labyrinth was my introduction to like spooky gore that wasn't zombie. This was my, hey, get the F over your fears and watch a little dark, you know, dark fantasy and check it out. So I thought both Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth were my thing. So Del Toro has a little portion of my heart. Once again, not to shit on the new one, but myself, I would lean towards Hellboy 2004. I would like to start with Tony, with you, my friend. Would you go with Hellboy 2004 or would you go with Hellboy remake? With where would you put your love?
I'd put it with 2004. I love Ron Perlman. I think he's fan. I can't recall a movie where he wasn't great. He's been in some not so great movies, but he's always amazing. I also find him wildly attractive.
Yes.
and
Yes.
the fact that that translated, even though he had so much, like so many prosthetics, like not just on his face, but his entire body. And he was still able to infuse it, because the reason that he is wildly attractive is that he always brings this really great sarcastic and dry sense of humor to most of his roles. Doesn't matter if he's playing a good guy, bad guy, or in this case, a demon from hell, with a soft spot for the love of his life and some kitty cats. And I really appreciated his take on it. I really appreciated the look of this Hellboy. I liked that this really did feel like a Hellboy universe. And even my criticisms about even the sequel to this movie is that it kind of became, for me, just a little too much Del Toro, which is usually not a bad thing because Guillermo del Toro is a fantastic filmmaker. But if I want to watch a del Toro movie, I know where to go. I didn't need my Hellboy movie to kind of just become another del Toro movie. So especially this movie and this take on it, it does feel like a Hellboy movie. It feels like it's its own specific world, and it inhabits its own universe. And I really, really enjoyed that part of it. But specifically, Hellboy, yeah, Ron Perlman all day every day. Even though I am also wildly in love with David Harbour, I adore him to no end. But yeah, I will leave it at that.
No, and that makes a lot of sense because on your point, you know, Ron Perlman had a shitload of prosthetics, but that handsome motherfucker's still showing through on that. And I think he joins the likes of Tim Curry on when he played the devil-like character.
In Legend,
Be yeah,
yes.
exactly. Because and same thing, so much prosthetics, but you could see his face, and he's another one that's just his looks just You're like, damn, you still look good.
I think the reason that Ron Perlman is just like so suited for this kind of role is that even though Ron Perlman has a very distinctive face, he has very extreme features. And even that, he knows that there is a physicality to his face. Like he knows when to furrow his brow, he knows when to jut out and firm up his jawline. And it's really great the fact that he just didn't allow the prosthetic to do it all for him. And also his voice acting, which and his delivery, his line delivery. Fantastic. Could not say more about it. There were so many times where I just forgot how like great he is. And it's like these really tiny moments where like at one point he's fighting some, I don't know, he's in a fight. And at one point he just kind of steps to the side and he's just like, you missed. And it's such a stupid throwaway, not even like there's nothing particularly like signature about that moment. I mean, how many movies do we know out there where somebody has said that line? And for whatever reason, just the way he delivers it, the way he uses his voice. I mean, I just think that he had a full-blown performance in this movie.
Right on. No, totally. 100%. I totally see what you mean by that. Ren, we're gonna go with you, my friend. And remember, you could do the pun now or later, totally up to you. No stress on that. But in regards to the poll, would you go with the 2004 Hellboy or with the 2020, I think it's 2021 or 22 remake for Hellboy? Oh, I'll get that clear.
2019.
Thank you for that clarity. 2019 remake of Hellboy.
Well, I haven't seen the recent one, so
Okay, it's okay.
I
No
cannot give
worries.
it a good comparison. But
That's okay.
I do give the 2004 Hellboy a hellishly good review. I did
Nice. I like
it.
it.
For me, I really enjoyed Ron Perlman as Hellboy. Obviously, I'm sure the new actor has done his own interpretation of it, which I'm like, I should watch it. But for me, I think I just really love the world that they built for it. And for me, it was very impressionable. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And also, like, it was very much the topic that Guillermo continues to do or bring up in his movies is very much like, what makes a man, right? Like, what is a monster versus what is a man? He even does that with the beginning of the Hellboy movies, like, what makes a man? It's very reminiscent also of like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, where like, right? So I really love that theme continuously throughout his films. And for this one, I was just like, yeah, Hellboy is more than just like a demon from the depths of wherever he's from. He's got
Yes,
feelings and he loves cats. He's
we all love cats. Oh my goodness, I'm trying
he's
to look for
built
my
from the
cats as
women's
I look
gate.
around
And
here.
like, yeah. I love him.
Oh,
He loves
that's
chocolate, he
great.
loves cats, and he loves his dad, so.
Yeah, that's very true. Oh my god, all the feels. Yeah, you my friend, would you go with the Hellboy 2004 or the Hellboy 2019?
Okay, so same thing. I grew up with Ron Perlman, so that's my Hellboy. The fact that I also have a voice thing, so his voice. He's not Hellboy, he's Hell Daddy. Oh yeah, no, you guys know me by now, and I love how like each episode I'm on, I think I get more and more unhinged. So you guys see more of me. I'm not just like now. I'm like,
We love you, yeah.
Thank you. But yes, but oh my God, he is so attractive, and I'm not saying like the new one isn't, but it's just there's Ron Perlman has this presence that I feel like the other one doesn't. The other one feels like a very young Hellboy, while like the Hellboy that Ron Perlman portrays, it's very much like the all like the traumas and stuff he goes through and like stuff. It's just something so attractive. And of course, we're talking about movie wise. I'm still biased because 2004 has Abe Sapien, and the 2019 one only has like a hint at the post credit. And I was like, where is he then? Where is he? So yes, but yes, so definitely. Ron Perlman in 2004, all the way through, I would die for this movie. So I think that's the
Question.
thing. Yes.
So it's a question here, because we're on this, and this just kind of bugs me here. You know how everybody's on the whole universe kick now? What if they did a multiverse for Hellboy and they brought both Ron Perlman and David Harbour in for a thing coming in? Like, I don't know. I think like their quippiness together would be kind of cool. I mean, I do see David Harbour in my sense as the next grouchy, grouchy dude that comes in, token white guy, for things in a sense, to be in here, that's not too, there, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe multiverse. Who knows? Anyway, I digress. So, talking about this here, because I understand that we're time crunching here. So we have the introduction. We introduce these, actually cokes out with a Babe Ruth. Speaking of that, we have a list of Hellboy's favorite snacks here, because here at Nom Talk, we definitely love to talk about snacks. So a couple things here. What works for him himself though is here we go. Now, food for Hellboy, you only see, and for the record, when we introduce later in the scene, because two things. One, I want to make a side note here. When it comes to the introduction of the film, we're introduced to John Myers, which happens to be the agent that we find out later that is there to replace Professor Broom in a sense, to be the guide and reference for Hellboy. I'm gonna be real, I don't like John Myers. Don't like him. Don't fucking like him. I'm gonna put it out there right
So
now, and
holier than thou is so like just I know what's best. I know what's best
so
for everyone.
boring. I just want, for the record, I really think he's the definition of what a lot of people fucking hate. And when I say a lot of people, I'm gonna talk about a lot of people that we vibe with. I mean, like the whole mansplaining thing, the whole unneeded chivalry concepts, the whole, oh, and you even see him slip in and try to make a move on Hellboy's girl.
Liz.
And even when he's like, oh, I got this, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, oh my God, I don't want to like spoil that, but we're just gonna go zip over that
No,
real
we
quick
can
here.
start though. We hate
So,
Jane Myers
yeah,
more.
okay,
Yeah,
cool. Okay,
we can do
okay,
that. We can do
good,
that.
good. All right, cool. I was like, all right, cool. And if anybody
F
likes Jane
that
Myers,
guy.
I'm sorry, I
No,
apologize.
F that guy. 100%. He is
Oh
so
my
bored.
God.
And honestly, he offends me because he is the audience insert character. And I felt so offended that I'm like, is this what they think me, the audience, is like? That I'm like, and to me, it kind of felt like they were trying this character. Of course, he's just like prototypical, like, what? What is that? Yes, let me go ahead and give this exposition that is obviously needed for this moment, even though everybody else seems to be clued in except for me. And I get what the purpose of him as a plot device is, but. It to me, as on a meta level, I'm just like, is this movie made for dude bros who are not into comic books or sci-fi? And John Myers is there in which case, no, don't like that. And then when John Hurt, who plays Professor Broom, first off, John Hurt, so amazing. Wow.
It's
I
amazing.
think probably one of my favorite things he's ever done. When he says, like, oh, I'm dying. And he kind of implies that he has been brought in to kind of like take on them. I was like, what about this dude is so special that you think that this is the guy that can do what you do? Because in the time that we've spent with Professor Broom, like he's incredibly well educated, he's resourceful, he's compassionate, he's patient, he's a religious man, so a man of faith and conviction. And he's also very, he's such a dad, but like the greatest kind of dad, where it's just kind of like just the slightest little eyebrow twitch is just like, oh, I'm in trouble. Ah, shit. Like he's so authoritative. And it's everything that this guy is not. John Myers is not any of those things. And he's so dry. He's such like the cut off like crust of toast. I'm just like, what is the point of you? Why are you here other than just to ask questions? I'm so upset at him.
I want a snapshot meme of you saying that your face was so great and it just was so cute. And you're like, this could dry piece of crust or toast. I love it. Love
Someone
it.
clip that. If
Fantastic.
it.
Fantastic. No, I get that. I get that. So we get the introduction and we see that he's, being put in the film. We see that, upon this introduction, I want to like the guy, but I just can't. But we see an agent, which I don't think it's enough credit. He's never put in the
Clay?
scene at the beginning. Yeah, Agent Clay, which is played by Corey Johnson. A lot of the films, for some odd reason, he's casted way below. I do not why. I'm thinking it's just in regards to how things work in regards to the lines and stuff like that. But we are introduced to Clay. Clay does a brief introduction to them, mentions coming in. And Hellboy, for the audience watching right now, just a heads up on here, we're going to give a brief cliff note version of this. We know a lot of you've seen this film here, so we're trying to get to the point here. So this may go over a little hour, may not, but please bear with us. That being said, we see that Agent Clay introduces, I'm going to say Agent Douche John Myers to Hellboy. In this point, we see some awesome plate of mashed potatoes and steaks. So I'm thinking like almost like 300 pounds of steak. mashed potatoes, cats walking around. Now, for knob talk purposes, we have to mention food here. We don't have to. We just love it. We love talking about it. So that being said, things with Hellboy right now is steaks, mashed potatoes, bowls of chili, nachos, bacon, pancakes, toast, specifically Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm assuming it's more like a street thing because, in the area of where it's been written about here, Red Bull, boiled eggs, and milk and cookies. So these are things that, that Hellboy enjoys. Now, in the film that we always see a massive amount of mashed potatoes and steak. We see these huge two silver bowls and this just pounds of steak coming in. I think there might have been some seasoning on it. But along with Hellboy, as aggressive he is because he loves his cigars as well, we see a slew of cats. He is a big softy in general. We see this, but we also see that he's very connected with family. He doesn't know John Myers at the time being. If he introduced him, he kind of just like, who the hell are you? Kind of deal. Makes jabs at Agent Clay and his hair plugs, but at the same time, still shows some respect for him in a sense as well. And usually, he hasn't spoken to Professor Broom at this time being because he's still trying to figure out where he's at. We find out later on that another character that is going to be called Liz Sherman is technically away from the area, which happens to be Hellboy's love interest. We find out later that she's associated, which I consider with like a massive hellfire in a sense of who she is internally from her own soul or being or whatnot. So when she is severely angry or has a strong source of emotions, her body can protrude this like heat style fire that comes out, that will be there, so to say. Now we find out that she's had horrible experiences being abused as a child to now. Therefore, she's had incidences where she's, ended lives because she's hadn't been able to control that power. And one being abused to that extent has a fight or flight response that someone cannot control. And therefore had a couple incidences that made her leave the organization and as a child made her kind of, near herself away from the public in a sense. We then find out that later that Professor Broom is trying to get John Myers to take over his position there. Professor Broom is the father-like figure of Hellboy. We find out later in this depth here that it's since World War II and maybe a little beyond that Nazis and German Nazi organization, along with the United States and allies, have both created their form of a paranormal investigation groups to find out certain ways to go ahead and turn the war. They say in their own words in the introduction that there were certain things that they took in care of that turned the war, but it was never talked about in the papers. But in reference to Hellboy, these supernatural steps are the reason why the United States has overtaken, Nazi Germany, and the reason why Nazi Germany came very close to overtaking the world. We find out later that Rasputin has a connection to this, this worldly place, along with the character that plays the assassin here.
Cronin.
Thank you. And exactly. Who's the actor of that, by the way?
I think it's a stunt dude.
Yeah.
What's his name? Ladislav Baron. Or I don't know if I'm pronouncing any of that correctly.
I think you're totally right. I think the way I'm looking at this and how they're actually giving the actual, let's go check over here and I'll be a little bit more organized. But anyway, we'll go in there. I'm going to say medieval bullet assassin man right now is going to be the initial introduction of his Rasputin's character. You also have Rasputin's lovely a love interest at this time beaten, which is going to be Isla Hofstein, which is played by Bridget Hofstein here as well. But anyway, that being said, we're introduced to baddies that are that are in this here. Whew. Now, with all this being said and done, we get a hint of a reintroduction of a character. This character is hinted to try to bring back Rasputin. Along there, this character goes ahead and introduce what we call the, I believe, we don't know it at the damn being, but just for the sake of time, is going to be a hellhound that we find out. This hellhound is released into the city.
Somehow. Here.
Thank you. I thank you very much. I appreciate you. Now, this thing is released into the city, creating chaos. And I would say Professor Broom and his organization is notified of this thing, and they are sent down there. I believe Agent Clay is with them at the time being. You also are introduced to Abe Sapien, a wonderful character. Happens to his favorite snacks happen to be rotten eggs because they're yummy and delicious to his palate. We find out that he is psychic and he lives underwater and lives with the organization along with Hellboy. Hellboy and Abe Sapien. I'm thinking, technically speaking, Abe Sapien is going to be a little older than Hellboy, but both of them have been partners and family along with Professor Broom and a couple of the agents that are within the company within that. Now, that being said, emergency happens, pops up. We are then introduced to this hellish creature that comes out. They send Abe, a couple of agents, along with Hellboy to go take care of it. The first interaction, we hate to say this, yes, I'm gonna say the first interaction because Hellboy goes on, has two interactions with this thing, dukes it out with it, notices that his own skin's pretty tough, has a big old subway fight with it. We and introduce the fact that, they're coming with these little cute little kitties that he has to save the day with, does this dramatic, duke it out, gets on this train, boom, tucks it out, puts him up there, makes the train go over, smashes this thing, saves the day. We're like, yay, we're awesome. But then we find out later, reality after coming home, that there is a little, part of a little egg on him. And then they also find out through the actual, let's say, lore of the creature, that this thing doesn't die like you like normally die. It actually, for everyone that gets killed, yes.
Actually, it they don't know that it was through Rasputin that gives like the thing that like oh for everyone that dies two will
Oh,
come
he did.
from
Yep.
it.
Thank you very much. He actually applies
Sorry,
that to
I'm like
the
this is like
no,
my movie,
no.
so
I am not
I'm
complaining in any way, shape, or form. You do not see a complaint anyway that you're A-okay. Thank you for actually doing that correction. It's A-okay. Do not apologize for that. So we actually have this for everyone that dies. Another one is rose in his place. They later don't find that out until, once again, much later. Then sending Abe Sapien and the rest of the team there, along with Agent Clay and about four of the agents at this time being. I want to call these agents red shirts from Star Trek because they pretty much get slaughtered in this interaction coming in. Unfortunately, along with this. It's interaction. We then find out later that Agent Clay and Hellboy go after. Can somebody remind me of the assassin's name again?
Ronan.
Ronan.
Cronin. They go after him because they see him under these underground tunnels. Hellboy going one direction, Agent Clay going the other. Then Agent it was.
It was, oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So no, you're good. Agent Clay going the other. And then actually, once we can, when I would say Hellboy at this point gets lost in his own sense. And that's when Agent Clay actually, I would say, I don't want to say dukes it out with this assassin because ultimately the assassin comes up, stabs him, pretty much borderline kills him. I'm going to say, because you don't really know at this time being, looks like he's dead. Done. Multiple shots. I mean, this guy looks like a can opener went to him and it just dramatically just takes him out. You see that he has an alternative motive after actually, wanting to murder Agent Clay. He takes this little clock-like thing that looks like it's connected to the rest of the living system, puts it down, twitches out, and looks like he's dead. Now, the reason why I say looks like here, because we were running on short on time, but also we understand that he's technically not dead.
He's not
Now,
alive either. He's just.
yeah, in fact, I believe Professor Broom brings it up, the fact that he is
His blood is
an un
sand. Yeah, his
yeah
heart is like a
he's
thing.
yeah he's an unknown entity.
Completely addicted to plastic surgery, so everything is like removed.
Yeah, he made the statement he's more not like a human than human itself. It's just ridiculous at this point. Now we see the autopsy scenes, and I'm going back and forth here. We signed out at this point through previously pre before a little bit after that, do the autopsy here. That this there's nothing left of him. It's just bits of skin, his maybe an eyeball or two, and as you can see, pretty much mechanics and dust at this point. Now, once that is there, once that's taken care of, we see at this point. Oh my God, sorry, I'm getting a brain fart here. At this point in the film, hold on, Rogan. Thank you for following. Okay, cool. Sorry, I'm gonna read some comments here because we're a little behind, so I'm gonna go ahead and get those comments a little later. But I'm gonna go ahead and skip a little points here. But at this point in the film, we also find out that there was a purposeful assassination attempt on Clay to plant himself to actually ultimately take care of Professor Broom. Because we see that he does make a reason, because I'm gonna skip a hop a little bit all over the storyline here. He does rise up a little later, he does rise up later, and does the assassination attempt to take out Professor Broom, which we find out. In which Hellboy is torn, heartbroken over the whole situation here. We then realize that Sam Hale is actually egg producing all over the place, having massive amount of things other than the train station again. We have more visually awesome concepts that we see with Abe Sapien that to go investigate within the water at this time being. Abe is technically the one that sees majority of these egg hatches at first because of the sides, his peripheral vision that he's seeing here and there while he's swimming underneath. Finds out there's actually two, three, and more of these things multiplying. He gets slashed in his arm himself, gets attacked and gets pushed down a crevice. We see multiple fight scenes along with actual Hellboy, along with the other one, duking it out, this time again and again and again. But they all realize that the only way to take care of this is massive flames and explosions to actually fry this whole thing out in general. Once again, as Yaya pointed out, with Rasputin's gift at this time being, for everyone that dies, another one rises in his place. So the ultimate point is to take and ultimately destroy these things. That being said and done, fast forward. We understand that finally this thing's destroyed with a lot of, a loss of quite a few of agents at the time being. We think that Agent Clay is possibly dead. We have an excellent actor we have here that's going to be Tom Atting. He plays, basically by Jeffrey Tambor. He is probably the head of the agency, of this whole agency here that Professor Broom works for. He technically hates Hellboy throughout the beginning of the film, but we see this point here that he is making more of a resurgence and trying to be more of a presence at these missions. And at this point, he jabs at Hellboy, saying, it's because of your rambunctious nature that we lost almost all our agents, there that day. And not only, now Professor Broom's dead, and what are you going to do? You're done for. We see a dramatic scene later on that Hellboy launches, a big metal piece towards his direction, but not at him, but away from him in a sense. So we think the relationship right there then is torn up. Now, fast forward, we get to the point to the fact that they are going to be sending up a team and getting together and to find out where Rasputin's going and trying to figure out ultimately what the mission is and where to go. They go to a place in Moscow, Russia. Now, with this, you have a team of asshole John Myers. Sherman is convinced to come back. I skipped that ahead there. We have a weird thing where the reason why I think asshole John Myers is such an asshole because he's sent back before Professor Broom is dead to go ahead and pick up Liz to bring her back to the
Oh
facility
no,
over
they're
there.
on a date.
Oh yeah, but I would say hypothetically he's trying to convince her to go in. There's this whole thing in which Hellboy hops on the dang roof to go see what's going on because he's jealous because his love for Liz. He actually even chills out with a little boy on the rooftop at this time being, does this epic rock throw to hit freaking John Meyer in the head because he tries to do this little sly little thing over the shoulder. So at this time, there's my disagreement with the movie. I don't like this real character John Myers because he uses his way and he tries it. I feel like he tries to use his own self-benefit to actually, dissuade this whole thing. Now, this whole ramble here, we get to the point where they're about to get sent to the mission of Moscow. All right. We have that Professor Broom's dead. We think that hypothetically speaking, the agent, the assassin's dead. We understand that Rasputin is technically alive, but the fact because of Professor Broom, of his actual message that he left for Hellboy and Abe Sapiens, their interaction with this huge freaking hellish character, this craziness, the chaoticness that's going on. And now they're all ready to team together with the likes of what we have Tom Matting, which is now the, I would say, the head agent that technically doesn't like Hellboy that wants to join him at now. Now they're all about to head to Moscow to start this long mission. Now, I have to start with Tony on this one here. With this chaoticness that's happening, we are obviously introduced to Hellboy. We're actually introduced to the fact that they have two duke outs right now with this, this hell dog like thing. Samuel, as you said, yeah, my bad on this one, this creature. We've already lost which looked like two great people, and it's utter chaos right now. I'm about to go on a mission on Moscow, Russia. What are we feeling right now? Has there been too much of the film? Has anything really stuck out to you at this moment of the film? Is the pacing steady?
Okay, I'm gonna have to go through a
You're
couple
A-okay.
things. Yeah.
You're A-okay. We went through I went through a lot
So
here.
Samael is probably the first creature design that I have seen look better in CGI rather than as a real life model or puppet.
Right on.
Because once Samael actually transitions into like a full-on CGI character in the frame, I think he moves the way that Samael is supposed to move. And once it's the guy in the suit with the extended little, like, essentially, it's like the same proportions and setup that most productions will use, especially when they put a guy like in a gorilla suit, where it's the longer arms and it's just kind of like, that's super obvious that that's a dude in a suit. Oh, but once Samael's CGI, it like looks amazing and it does what it needs to do. But like, yeah, when it's actually like a practical effect, and that's the first time I can think of like, yeah, the CGI looks better than the practical effect, and that is not a thought that I usually have often. In regards to Cronin, I never thought I would ever say this. Cronin, the only cool looking Nazi ever, because all of the other cinematic Nazis that I can think of that immediately jump to mind, everybody through like the Indiana Jones franchise, literally ad nauseum lists of like bad guys or the Nazis. They're just dudes. They're just dudes. Like, there's nothing remotely like remarkable about them. But this guy is creepy looking. Like, once you take everything off, he's horrific looking. Once you put everything on, he is horrific looking. So both ways, it's just awful. And then also like his physicality, his choreography, with the fight scenes and with his weaponry. I honestly can't remember another, especially in an American-made movie, I can't think of another character that has been able to like be that menacing, especially with no lines. That dude does not speak
It
at
just,
all.
yeah,
He kind of
he
like has
laughs.
this
That's about
weird
it.
laugh. Yeah, and I'm like, that's not a line. That's just a creepy, it's a creepy sound. As far as them getting to like Moscow and getting through all these things. Oh, I do want to touch on one thing before we get to the Moscow bit. I really love the moment between Rasputin and Professor Broom right before Professor Broom's death. I always love moments where enemies have like small moments of compassion, especially right before either they fight or they're about to like kill each other. And that moment where Rasputin literally like not only touches his hand but like squeezes it, I just thought like that's you are literally the embodiment of evil. You are literally in service of like evil, and yet you're taking the moment to like comfort your adversary. And it's not like in a moment to like humanize him, but it's just a moment to kind of like I think it speaks more to like the I always love when just like adversaries have like a respect for each other where it's like it'll be quick and it's like it's done and it's over. And I don't think it's a moment of compassion. I just think it's like just the respect and the honorableness of like being
Like a
adversaries.
heartfelt respect, something like a little bit. I see what you mean. That's a good point. Didn't mean to interrupt, but go on.
No, and then as far as them getting to Moscow, I mean, there's a ton of things happening, but I think that's also the appeal of this movie where it's like it's such an FX movie. It's a movie that firmly belongs like in syndication on FX. So that way at any moment, whether you've like you're either you're actively watching or if you're like folding laundry or doing dishes, there's always something interesting happening. And you didn't need to sit there and watch the whole thing in order to follow it. But at any moment on the screen, there's something interesting. So whether that's them on the way to Moscow, the weird little skeleton
Yeah, when they get
revived
there,
dead dude. Yeah, like at any moment, there's like something like, well, how the hell did we get here? Is kind of like the feeling I always have whenever I watch this movie. And it's such a great like thing just because I think they knew that was the movie they were going to make. They doubled down on it and they just rode that through all the way to the ending, which I think is like not something that every movie does successfully. But yeah, I really, really appreciated just the way that they were just like, why not? Why shouldn't there be a Cthulhu at the end of this movie?
Yeah, see
Why
that's that.
shouldn't there
Yeah, see
be?
that's. Yeah, God, see that. See that. Okay, see, ooh, we're gonna touch base on that real quick here. That's one of my little irk. That's why I had to get a 5 on 5 on this. Sorry, but Ren, in this situation here, we are built to the point to the ultimate build. We see classic. We see, I would say, the godlike character Broom. Being, dead at this time being. We think the Agent Clay is dead. We see that. Give the fact that Liz is technically not. In danger. There, all these things that are going around. There's so many. I would say. Moral conflicts amongst the main party, which are going to be asshole John Myers. Sorry, guys, I'm gonna have to say the asshole John Myers, which is going to be the great, the Sapien, and we have Hellboy along with the rest of the crew. Now they're on the way to Moscow, and as Tony mentioned, kind of a mixture there. We have Hellboy's classic way of getting the classic body up from the grave and speaking him to use his powers to direct him a little bit more, to which I call this Lord of the Rings trip for them. What are you feeling at this point? Are there any characters that you absolutely love? Is anything that's irking you at this point? Is the pacing of the film, because I know this is like an hour and 58-minute film right now. What's things that are really sitting with you
Asshole John Myers.
right
What are his qualifications?
now?
Why is he going on this trip? Because like if he's really gonna just be like the voice of reason, right? Or like going to be his nanny, does he have to go with every mission? Also, I was like, you knew that Hellboy loves her because we clearly get a scene where he's like, he loves you, and then he still hits on her. I'm like,
Creepy.
watching you, sir. And like that whole yawn scene, although that one scene where Hellboy and the kid, just some random kid on the roof, kind of talking about the tooth, and like I'm like, I don't know how this happened, where this kid came from, good, but good for you. Good for you. So there's that. I'm also kind of like, where's Abe? How is he doing? Where's my boy? There's that. Also, the scene where the dad dies gets my heart because he's like, I know his name. It's Son. And I'm like,
Oh.
gets me right in the feels.
Oh.
So I'm already like heartbroken there. But I do agree. Like, I thought that was a very interesting scene where it kind of does give a little bit of mercy. And I was like, it'll be quick.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But now that we're getting to the like the Moscow scene, we're seeing like the reanimation of this weird skeleton guy who also has a, still his personality intact. I'm like, all right, good for you. I'm curious. Like, my main thing was like, let's see where this goes. Because I remember like rewatching it like recently. I was like, okay, I don't remember much of the ending actually. But I do, I think my main focus, like before, was always the romance part of this movie more than the actual
Yeah.
action. Because, like, the scene where Hellboy and Liz get the small moment in the office where he's like, I know I'm not normal and I make you feel out of place, but I'll always love you. Basically, you know, like that scene, he's like, I'll always look this good, but I'll never pick up on you. I was like, you know what? That is the kind of dedication I need in my life.
That's daddy
That's
material.
daddy material. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm like, where's the romance? I need more romance. Screw John Myers, give me romance.
I love you guys so much. Speaking of that daddy vibe here, going back in little comments of here, going in here so I don't miss these here. Q-Ball, we always love you, my friend. He says, I got a joke. What's Batman's favorite place to eat? Red Robin. I'm gonna be stuck in my
Oh,
head here.
I knew it was coming. Red Robin.
Heartless Seven, Heartless Seven, regards to Yaya's energy for when it comes to the actual Hellboy references. He goes, love Hell Daddy. He goes, love that idea. Q-Ball mentions, I do agree that Hellboy in the movie didn't know how to express himself and his emotions for Selma's character. Basically, the macho guy who doesn't know how to handle his emotions and the love for himself and others. Great point, Q. Stream Elements, thank you for following Domingo. Let's see here. So we got the little references of people following Nom Talk, so we appreciate you guys. And then producer Rob coming in with, oh my gosh, yes, the CGI for OG Hellboy is the best. Tony, bringing that up, to be realistic with you, I had no idea that some of it was CGI, because that's how good of it that was to me too, of watching some of the things actually dangle with the movements and stuff. That's a very excellent point there as well. Now, So in this point of the film as well, my friend, last but not least, where we're sitting at in regards to, we see asshole John Myers, we see about this mission about to go to Moscow. We understand that, our classic iconic Professor Broom is dead at the moment. So pretty much we're looking at like a revitalized team coming for revenge and, for proper alternative motions or possibly proper motives. But that being said, with this chaotic thing, because I know that with an hour and a 58-minute film, we're in like about an hour and 20 minutes of this film right now. How are you feeling at the moment? Are there any iconic moments from the beginning that really stuck out with you, or any characters that you absolutely love with? What are you feeling like, my
You have to ask which characters I'm in love with, really?
friend?
After
And then sit
how
my
I
age juice.
wonder, I wonder. I wonder. No, but yeah. I just said going. Always gonna say, Abe Sapien always stuck out for me. He's like, I love a good educated guy. The way that and the fact that he looks so unique, it makes it even better. And yes, he is older than Hellboy, but no, this like scene, like this whole sequence is like, oh, like. It's as Q says, like, Hellboy's like he loves Liz. He very much loves her very much. And the reason why he's like, basically grounded is because he keeps on going to visit her. That he goes against his dad. And then like I'm just like the fact that like Professor Broom dies when he's out and doing the thing that he was grounded for, and he comes out. That's like one of my biggest fears is like when I go out and I come back and like a family member, like and it's like it's I was not there for it, and so that part always kills me so bad. And as both our Ren and Tony said, is like no, the whole Rasputin, like that mercy, because like the thing is, if he didn't kill Professor Broom, Professor Broom has cancer. He has all these like he was gonna die like slow and painfully. Like this was
Quick
mercy for
question,
him.
Yaya.
Yes.
For when Professor Broom gets killed, That was during the time that they were on a date and he was checking out the whole thing with throwing rocks, right?
Yes.
Oh, it
Yes.
fucking makes me cringe even more.
Yeah.
God, go on.
So,
Sorry. When you mentioned it, it just kind of dawned
I
on me. I
know,
was like,
yeah.
son of a
So that's why, like, so,
bitch.
it, my, Asa Myers does, so, the, Asa Myers has two interact, basically two major interactions with Liz. One is taking her back, and, like, when, Hellboy throws the thing at, Manning is when she comes back, and then that night, like, he's writing her love letters, and then she comes, and she's like, oh, look at all these babies, and then she says she's going out, and then he gets pissed, and that's what's happening. So, yeah, so Myers is the
Yeah.
cause of, like, Hellboy not being there for Professor Broom.
That
But
I knew
yeah.
there's another reason. I was like, there's a whole bunch
Yep.
of
Yep. That guy sucks. Yeah. Sucks.
whatever, Myers.
I do love, like, when Liz is talking to Abe about, like, Abe is worried for Hellboy. Like, Abe and Hellboy are basically like brothers. They were like brought up together. They were raised, like, they have a really, really strong, like, relationship. And he tells her, he's like, I'm worried about him. It's like, I'm not a problem solver. Like, how many years in the Rubik's Cube and only two side is like finished? I'm like, love Abe. But yeah, so I love how Abe is kind of the voice of reason, even though he's not like a very emotional character until the second movie. And then but yeah, so I just love everything about it. There is a plot hole that I do have that does irk me, but that's like later on when we go to Moscow.
Motherfucker.
But yes, but prior to that, I love how the whole setup, Cronin putting the sheet of paper in him on him so that he can make the connection. So everything's like all set up by Rasputin. Rasputin is like this like master like chess like player that's like setting everything up. And like Cronin, even though he looks horrific, damn that body. And I'm like, that's really hot. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm like being degenerate again, but like the way he moves and in that form, I'm like, that's, as I said, the most attractive Nazi ever in like film to me without his showing his face. I have a thing for masks, if you guys don't know. There was like a Alejandro knows about my thing with masks, but sorry, getting more and more degenerate down here. It's getting anyways, but yeah, so this part, it's very emotional. I think it's like it's such a good, like, has a good sequence. I love it. You know how me with pacing. Yes, I can complain about the pacing a little because it is a little funky, but no, this part, the emotional situation with Professor Broom, it kills me. And then the Hellboy's like emotion when he holds him too.
Pretty intense. No, I get
Yeah.
that for sure. For sure. Now, for the sake of time, just to go ahead, I'm going to cliff notes a little bit, a couple more things to get to the ending of the film. And then I want to get you guys' opinions on a few things. We're definitely going over the hour a minute over here. So we're looking at 9:10 here. For those, thank you for bearing with us. For those that are going to continue with us, thank you very much. Please know that we are aware of time and we're trying to get this as soon as possible. And at the same time, not sound like a broken record. So that being said, all right. So on the way to Moscow, once again, cliff notes here. Please forgive me for butchering stuff here. But on the way to Moscow, they have a epic time getting themselves along. Once again, we mentioned Hellboy using one of his badass abilities to speak into the other side of, I'd say, with the undead, and actually go ahead and whisper his own ways to this body that happens to lift up and ask him questions that only a man of his age would know of the town in particular where to go and areas to go. We find out later that he kind of uses him as a backpack and just kind of goes with them on this adventure to these little eerie places they went. To me, it God, this place just screamed Gothica. It was fantastic. So there were so many visual winter gothic kind of concepts of this place they go to. Fast forward the whole situation, we find out that Rasputin's along there with his assassin and his little groupie, which you're gonna call her Isla. Because I'll be honest with you, I'll bring this in here. There doesn't really seem to be a positive female character in the actual movie itself. Every female that seems to be in the movie here seems to be motivated by dick. Now that being said, I know I just don't think that justification's there, but that's just me. But with that, we find out this epic plot. As you said, Yaya, he is a chess player. He is planning this, whole situation to get Hellboy here. Ultimately, find out he is the key, with his actual full developed horns. He is essentially equivalent, well, I'd say, in his hand. Yeah, his hand being the key, essentially to unlock, which I would say, hell in a sense. When you say the term Lucifer in this world, Hellboy, I wouldn't say is almost that, but is equivalent to being the king of essentially of this. But naturally, being a natural kind-hearted person that he is, he doesn't want to go into these depths. However, Rasputin, being the interesting man he is, Once again, pre-friendly gets this area set up to get this whole area situated to, we already see that he takes one of the guides way earlier in the film, slices blood sacrifice, had the blood sacrifice to get this place started, essentially getting this place planned to have Hellboy work for him and connect, ultimately have this connection to the world of which we all mentioned this through the connection to open this up and create utter chaos, right? Now, at this point that we hear, we have multiple situations in which, the bridges are collapsing. It's almost like a chaotic maze of trying to get to where they're going. I think a couple of agents die in this concept of going into this process there. We have a really cool moment, which I found this is kind of as quiet as this was. We actually have Jeffrey, I'm sorry, Tom Manning character actually talk to Hellboy after, having his ass saved one of these times, how to properly light a cigarette, not use the actual lighter, but actually use the actual, what do you
Match.
call it, match, thank you, right, to actually keep the favor there. We see a brief interaction with Hellboy and him in a sense of like saying, I appreciate it, thank you. And for once, one's not being a dickhead to the other. So it seems to be a nice little coupling or a step towards the new team that may be showing face amongst there with amongst the people that are dying. Because I mean, honestly, you don't really know Agent Clay. You really don't know Professor Broom. And some of the agents you don't really know they're getting slaughtered, but they do a really good job in this film of being like, oh, that kind of made me sad. So one of those things where you're like, okay, cool. They are losing people. This film is death, but there is a little happiness that's coming amongst all this stuff. We see Liz, like I said, fast forward and chopping back and forth. She ultimately is kidnapped by Rasputin. In this portion here, abused of powers because, of course, she is amazing herself. So ultimately, this plan has been planned since day one. So Rasputin has a plan for every single one of them. Chaos ensues. We find out later that we have Cronum then actually in his little, I would say, little mechanical weird fucking shop of parts and pieces that is there that has these little cranks and gadgets and gears and shit. And we see that when they go in, a really cool moment once again between Tom Manning and Hellboy as they duke it out both with Cronin. Tom Manning almost being assassinated, but Hellboy coming up with his fist, being a big massive stone slicing against the stone's big. Great, and the assassin's swords are no power for it, and they're getting crushed in a sense. Hellboy's whacking him and as throwing his little gear things at him at the same time, distracting his little funny moment. Essentially, they duke it out so much, smashes his face so much that gets him down to this what we call a like a
Spike
pit with
pit.
spike pit. Once he gets there, we also see how more because I mean, Yaya, you mentioned it, Tony, you mentioned it, Randy, even mentioned before, a little earlier before, he is utterly menacing looking. There's just nothing polite about this guy, and somehow he's still moving and still cranking with his big ass freaking spear through his thing. And we see Hellboy having a moment knowing the fact that this man killed Professor Broom for him, and he just tossed that freaking huge crank onto what we can call him, which we think that's the end of him in general. So in this film, so we see him dead at this point. Once again, another moment between him and Tom Manning. We see that in fast forward a little bit much here at this point, all we can think of is Hellboy wanting to get back Liz. Now, amongst this, we figure out that he agrees to be, agrees to, agrees at one moment, temporary moment to, goes with what Rasputin says because he wants to have Liz back in his life. We see these moments how he's convinced with John, asshole John Myers, oh, well, really be a good, good person that you are. Yada, yada. I'm going to skip over this so we get opinions out here. Just dramatic scene when he gets back to his real self, snaps off his horns. No, I'm really a good person. And essentially, I'm going to be real here. I think he's so motivated by Liz, in my opinion. I don't really care about asshole John Myers, the rest of the family, because there's really good relationships he does have with other people, but he's essentially, knowing who he is as himself to ultimately get to, who Hellboy is a great human being, which makes references to the beginning of the film and saying you don't have to be a human being to be a human being, you just have to have a heart. Therefore, he's representing a positive heart and showing this portion is here. We see that Liz is technically dead at this point, being into this world, and he does what I consider probably one of the most memorable moments on screen I will give this movie for, whispering something in her ear, her gun dramatically getting back up. Going on and says, what did you say? Because I told the guy on the other side that, hey, if you don't let her go, then I'm going to come over there and willing to go on the other side to go get her. And I honestly telling somebody you're going to go to hell or on the side back to pull you out, or you're telling the other guy on the other side of you that, hey, about to go to your side to pick him up. Whoo, talking about love being proper motivation. Now, with all being said and done, love, proper motivation, boom, come on, dramatic scene. Whoo, oh, so sweet. They kiss, but boom, lights come off, bam. All right, so here's the deal. We know that there's a new team here proposed in Hell, but we understand that Abe Sapien is technically hopefully live. Yes, we understand later in the films, but once again, Ren mentioned it, Yaya mentioned it, Tony mentioned it. we don't really get references too much to Abe sometimes, and we're like, what's going on with Abe? Is he okay? Like, he got slashed. We know at one time being he got fucked up by those things a long time ago. We see a little medical stuff for him, but after that, they kind of just kind of leave him hanging in a sense.
Oh no, they
Now,
have the interaction with him and Liz though, where he talks to.
we'll talk some more.
Yeah, so he's like stable. He's alive. He's good. He's
I
Gucci.
think he
Yeah,
should. I
he's
think
not
he should more.
comatose.
But see, my well, see, no, I get that, but I think he should be more present, in my opinion. I think there should be more Abe appearances. Like, I see he gets slashed, he gets talked to, but after that, it's just kind of like, okay, cool. He's just a wise, injured person. It's okay now. We just hope he gets back. It's just my opinion. But that being said, I'm gonna start with you, Yaya. Now, at this end of the film, where we're at, we see where the team's at. Is there a character you hated? How are you feeling? How are you feeling at the end of this film? And would you change anything about it?
So I do, as I said earlier, there is a plot hole for me in this part that, like, now as an adult, it does kind of irk me. Still doesn't let me put any less popcorn buckets, but it does miff me a little. Is that how the hell did all the Samaels get to Russia and there's none in New York?
There you go. And for the record, I totally forgot the whole Cthulhu concept. I mentioned that whole muscle mass thing coming in, mass of grenades things. Hellboy sends in there. I'm sorry, explodes it. That's there. I'm sorry, I totally forgot about that. But that's an excellent point. How the fuck? How did it,
Yeah,
that's a good one.
how did they all get there? Or why aren't they in New York? And I can like kind of assume like, oh, how come they didn't multiply after they died? I'm assuming it's with the death of Rasputin that it actually stops that spell that they can stay dead. But I'm just like, how the hell did they all get to Moscow?
That's a valid point. That's a valid point.
I'm like, they were all hatched in like the New York subway. How the hell did they get to Moscow? So that's my plot hole for that major plot hole for that movie that I'm like, But other than that, love is so like, I'm just gonna say like, at this point, I'm like, yeah, Agent Myers. I'm like, Agent Myers is kind of supposed to be a foil to like Professor Broom when he was younger. Like we see how Professor Broom was in the beginning, where he like, he's very green, he's very young. It's supposed to show like correlation how like they like kind of are like similar, and maybe hopefully in time Myers will become wise like Professor Broom. Hopefully, don't see it. So far, all of this is like I still really like it. It's like I do have to disagree where how like Hellboy's motivation was to get Liz. He actually doesn't know that Liz was kidnapped until he gets like there.
I gotcha, I gotcha.
I do love how like his like his reason for like rejecting it was actually not Liz but his dad. Like his because it was the rosary that he was holding, and then it was like Rasputin yelling at him like you don't have a choice. Like and my because Myers in the back yelling you have a choice.
But yeah, like the
It's
Myers is reawakening of making the rift of the father. I get it. I'm
like,
sorry. I'm
yeah,
so I dislike
no
that guy so much
worries. I know.
the plots that are connected to him, I'm like, ah, oh, fuck him. But you're
No,
very
I get
valid.
it. Yeah. So no,
Sorry.
because he's getting beat by Ilsa. Like he gets a head like sledgehammer to the face. But yeah, but he's like, you have a choice. And then like Rasputin's like, you don't have a choice. And then he sees the rosary burned into his palm. And he just like, God, and he stabs him. The symbolism of stabbing Rasputin with his horns. It's like, oh my
Gnarly,
gosh.
yes.
I think that was beautiful. Cause I'm just like, oh, because but yeah, no, at this end, I'm just like, okay, like, I'm loving the relationship that he had with Manny in the end after that fight. I'm really sad they didn't keep that character development in the second film. And so I was a little disappointed with that. But I don't know, the ending for me was beautiful. It's same thing with the romance. It's like, I said, hey, you want like ugly on the other side. It's like, yeah, no, that was beautiful. And then like, it's like, and then it ends with like what makes a man. It's like I thought that ending was perfect.
Oh, they did a
I just
beautiful turnaround,
they
yeah.
yeah so I'm just like and I don't know if like it's in the original but it was in the director's cut, but you see like a post-credit scene where Manny's just sitting in the room just like hello hello, and you
I
kind of
think
hear
I
like
yeah.
yeah. I love like little stuff like that, and I'm so sad that they don't make movies like this anymore. Like this was it was fun, it was very fast-paced. I don't need all of that like complication that I'm sorry like that Marvel has. I'm like I need something simple, very fast-paced, entertaining. Like it's witty, it's quirky, It's just something we don't see anymore. So at the end, I just like I adore this film. Even like without my biases of tour for this film, but I so far in the end, I'm just like I don't really actually hate anybody. I'm like even like with Rasputin and like Ilsa dying, like oh hell holds no like
Rise of Chorus.
yeah. So for and then they kiss and go yeah, and they get smashed, and I'm like yeah.
Yeah, the thing comes out, oh my God, they get all the tentacle coming down and taking their life force. They're done.
So yeah,
Done.
no,
Very
I
satisfying.
so
I
satisfying.
get that.
Yeah,
I
so
get that.
everything about the ending I did really like, and it was just perfect. And I thought it was like a cute, finally, like the finally moment with like Liz and Hellboy, where they finally like have the happily, and then like the fact that she kissed, and then she sets, she goes on fire, and he's on fire too, and it shows how perfect they are that he does. He's the only one that doesn't get hurt by her fire. If
I
anything,
love
it's
that
like.
so much too.
I love it. But then creepy John Myers is just there
It's just staring
staring.
at them.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, since we're talking, Tony, you, my friend, where are we at here when it comes to the ending of the film, the plot? Are you feeling good? Two, were there any characters that drove you nuts?
John Myers. Oh no, I think we lost
Oh
Alex. Alex is gone forever.
no.
Oh no. Okay, bye.
You're the new Alec. You're
I'm
the
the
new
new
Alec.
Alex. Okay, great. I'm just going to go ahead and answer the question. Yeah, I love Jeffrey Tambor, and I really love that they just didn't. He could have just been an asshole to the very end, and I love that moment of, this little great moment they have where he teaches him how to like light his cigar with a match, and I think
Right.
that's such a great like detail that they are the only two in the movie that are smoking cigars. And one has the Zippo and the other has a matchstick. And he's like, no, you do this so that way it's a
It
better
keeps the
way.
flavor, yes.
Right. And I love that there's just this really great moment of like, yeah, if you guys would stop being stupid and actually just like listen to each other and appreciate each other, you guys would actually pretty much get along because you guys are
Yes.
very like they're very
Similar,
similar. They're very
yeah.
similar. Just very two stubborn dudes just thinking that they're doing the right thing and they both like attention to a degree. I love that like
Very
Hellboy is supposed to
flashy.
be a secret and Hellboy does an
This is like
awful job of
he's
keeping
like
himself
just
a
letting
secret.
I want to be, I want to be. He's Ariel. I want to be where the
Yes.
people are.
He's like, it should not be a big deal that I'm just like zipping about and going about my business. And so, yeah, I really like that moment. As far as the ending, it's a lot that's happening,
Yeah.
but me as a lapsed recovering Catholic, like somebody who was like brought up with this kind of like these stories and this iconography, this,
Yeah.
the ideas of like there is definitely a God and there's definitely a hell and then there's definitely, and it's like, okay. And obviously, like, I'm not a Catholic, I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. But the fact that those concepts have been so ingrained within our society that we now make fiction out of
Yes.
like, comic books out of it. And it's like the how prevalent these stories have become, where it's like it's all now just a shorthand where it's like we all have a foundational understanding of Christianity. It's impossible
Yeah.
to not when you live in this society unless you are just like completely isolated. And I just love that they're able to just like take all of this. And so the idea when, you brought up the moment where Myers throws the rosary and it burns into his hand. And it's like, oh, yeah, because Hellboy is supposed to be a demon. He is a demon and
Yes.
he is a creature, a damned creature,
Yes.
and an unholy creature. And I just love that there's all these little moments that are not articulated or verbalized. But if you are familiar enough with the thing, like there's deeper implications into there about his own inherent nature versus the person that he's supposed to be,
Yeah,
and the
the nature
person,
versus nurture.
yeah,
Yeah.
completely. And is he his father's son? And does he, believe in being something more than just, the red ape that,
Yeah.
they all thought he was in the beginning? So, yeah, definitely, definitely love this ending. I just wish there's something to be said about linear storytelling. And I think some of the things get lost in translation because this movie does not always follow a linear timeline.
Yeah.
So this idea of like whispering into her ear and then having to retell the story of what actually happened. And that happens a couple of times where it's like there's a rewind and we get to see it and then we jump back to the present
Yeah.
moment. And so I think that's the only real complaint I have. But ultimately, I'm like, this is meant for repeat
Oh, yeah.
viewings. This is not something that you just watch once and leave it. I guess you can, but I don't think you get as much out of it unless you actually are like us, I think, where you've seen it a good, handful of times at the very
Yeah,
least.
agreed, agreed. Also, a cue ball redeemed Stretch and producer Rob redeemed Hydrate for the Thirst. I think that's aimed at me. So Stretch.
Stretch.
Stretch. And Hydrate.
That actually feels really nice,
I
I'm not gonna
know.
lie.
Really nice,
I know, I
actually.
was just felt a
Shrimping.
couple of, yeah.
Oh, I
That's
popped
a little
up.
gargoyle.
No, but I agree. I agree. Like, I'm just like, we were cheated out of that third movie. But Ren, how
I
about
know.
you? How about you?
Good. Okay. So
I'm back. Oh my God,
lives.
you guys are amazing. Oh my God. And Ren, please continue. Yes. A character
Yay.
that pissed you off. Where how are you feeling about the end of the film? Is there anything you'll change? Thank you, Tony and Yaya and Ren. You guys are amazing.
You're good. I'm trying to think because I don't think at this point like anyone really pisses me off. Because yes, obviously,
Asshole, you're
Asshole
stuck.
Domair is there,
Hey.
but he does play the role of being the replacement father, conscious Jiminy Cricket character. So he does serve a purpose. Can't get mad at him for that. I think for me, yeah, no bad characters that I hate. Even the villains, I was just like, they serve a purpose. They're here for a reason.
They were
And they
hot.
serve it well, you know? They do their job well. Their bad guys really good.
I think
There you go,
motivations are
exactly.
clear
Yes,
with
the
his, yeah.
motivations are clear. There's no confusion. I was like, they have a role, they're sticking to it. I think I wish, because obviously I'm more into the romance, I wish I had more romance between Rasputin and
And it was right, because it seems like, okay, the fact
Because it just
that
seems like she's like a, it literally just seems like she's a groupie though. That
Yeah,
how they do in
definitely a
the
groupie.
film. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like, maybe that is how it is, you know, maybe she was the groupie because obviously she's supposed to serve him and that's how she brought him back. So
Yeah.
she plays the role well. But even then, I was like, he does throw like little hints here and there where he's just like,
The
my
little
love.
subtle touches,
The
and
little
it's like,
yeah.
touches, and he's like, my love. Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
With his accent, he
oh.
uses the hell out of that thing,
He
man. And
really
like I
does. And I'm
said,
just like, you hate
you're like, you're
people,
gonna
but
say
you
that.
know how to work. Okay.
I'm like, if you read book talk, if you're part of book talk, you know the villains always
He
work.
knows. He
I'm just
knows.
like, you know what? Just say peanut butter slowly. Say peanut butter slowly.
Yeah. So even the villains, I couldn't even hate them. And she was like, there'll be no surprises for us in hell. Mwah! And
I
I'm
know. That was so romantic. And I was like, no, bad. Nazis. No, Nazis don't
Exactly.
deserve love or happiness.
They don't
Bad.
deserve that love or
Exactly.
happiness. That's why
Ben's
you get
like, they
smashed
got
with a
me.
huge tentacle, okay? A
Damn.
tentacle that
That's
was
right. That's all
moist
they
and thick.
deserve. Was moist. It
You can quote me
was
on
quite
that.
phallic. It
It was
was quite phallic.
very.
It
Just for
was.
that. Kaboom.
But yeah, I think for me, favorite character still is Hellboy at this scene, because obviously Abe, but he's not there. So at this point in Moscow, in the Moscow arc, Hellboy, because he's just our boy. He's just doing his job.
It's
He loves his girl.
just a
But
little
I think the
guy.
scene obviously that's like so
It's
epic
just a little
and like
guy.
kind of cool, obviously, is like the scene where like he grows his horns and his has his little flame.
Yes. And then like the steam that comes from his
He's
mouth,
like,
and he like and I'm like,
I'm like, yo, this is
Told
very
you.
steamy.
Daddy. I told you, daddy.
Exactly. I was like, oh, you know what? And then he's like, you know what? I don't want to be a bad guy anymore. Wah! And uses it as a weapon. I'm like, damn, that's symbolic and arousing.
Right on,
Very
right
nice.
on.
So yeah, I was like, okay, cool. So that was mostly my, I guess, happiness with the end piece. Obviously they kiss, and I'm like, okay. I expected it. If there wasn't a kiss, I think I'd be upset.
Was rioted.
Yeah, I would have rioted. I was like, at this point, you declared love, you brought her back from the dead, at least a kiss. So,
Everybody
and
just
then
kissed her on
yes,
the forehead.
I do have to say the kiss was a little awkward with the prosthetic though.
I think so
It
too,
did
because I
look a little
think
yeah, huge.
she couldn't really kiss.
Because Hellboy had no lips.
Yeah.
No lips.
Although I'm not gonna lie, I think Me 20 years ago first translated that as, oh, it's delicate and sweet
Oh,
and precious. And
yeah.
still is not quite sure how to like handle because she's so tiny in
Yeah,
comparison to him.
that is true. And she did initiate, like she leaned into
Nice.
him. I was like, yeah. And I really love the, like, again, what you mentioned, Alice, is the fact that, like, he is the only one who can handle her flames. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. They're meant for each
Hot.
other.
They're meant for each other. So cute.
They're
So cute.
fun. So yeah, I do love that. And obviously, when it gets to the second movie, I'm like, they're so cute together.
Are so cute.
They are so cute. No
I
spoilers.
wanted,
I won't say
I know,
anything.
but I wanted
Me too. Honestly, I'm really happy
that
that Guillermo wrote in the romance aspect of the movie because I feel like if
movie.
there wasn't a romance aspect of the movie, I would have just been like, this is cool. But
Oh my
where's
God. And then A falling in love and his
Oh, in
like
the
and
second movie?
he's like a little virgin boy and it's like, oh,
You're
little
the, like, in all
cherry
the
boy.
years you've been alive, hundreds of years, this is the person you finally found love, and then she
I know. It's like, oh, you
died.
poor little cherry boy.
Oh my. Okay. All right, before we go into that, we're getting our time limit here. You guys are freaking amazing. I love you guys. So, unfortunately, that's all the time we have to talk about the film today, guys. Once again, thank you guys for all three of my guests for being with here today, joining me with this chaotic hosting ability that we have talking about this amazing movie, 2004 Hellboy. So I appreciate you guys. Once again, thank you all again for tuning in. Please turn in our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as subscribing on platforms at Non-Talk Network. Tony, can you please let us know where we can find you at your socials, my friend?
Yeah, real quick. We didn't even get to talk about how awesome David Hyde Pierce was in this movie as the voice of Abe Sapien. All kudos to Doug Jones for everything he's ever done throughout his career, but honestly, I absolutely adored the addition of David Hyde Pierce. I
True.
also thought it was a very classy move that he didn't go for the billing because he wanted all the credit to go to Doug
But it did.
Jones.
I
So,
know.
classy move, David Hyde
Cool.
Pierce, wherever you are, like he's dead. I'm sorry.
I was like, wait a
Wherever you are in the
minute.
universe, I'm like, wait a minute, that guy's still living, very much so. But you
That
guys can find me on my social media at the Tony Sanchez, Tony with an I, Sanchez with a Z.
Excellent. Excellent. Where can we find you on your socials, my friend?
Oh my gosh, you can find me almost everywhere. So you can find me here on Twitch Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at My Hamachi. You can follow me on other social media such as Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all that fun stuff, either at J Palace Yaya or at My Hamachi. And of course, you can find me on YouTube. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus, but you can find me on YouTube at J Palace Yaya, where I make videos about Chinese history, culture, traditions, and all that fun stuff.
Excellent. Ren, where can we find you, my friend, on your socials?
Corpus Ren on all social media platforms. CORPUSREN.
Right on. Excellent. You can find me here at Organized Chaos when I'm here. If not, IAMCOWIE. That's I am Cowie on Instagram or TikTok with my shenanigans at Alejandra.Cowie. Once again, or here. Once again, thanks you guys for all joining us. Just to reiterate a little bit here, thank you again for tuning in. Be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as having all platforms at Non-Talk Network. Tune into next show that we have planned, which is going to be, looks like, on the 3rd. It's going to be Ghostbusters Frozen Empire with our host, Jen Athey, with guests Derek, Julie, and Tony Sanchez. So please join us there. Once again, thank you for joining us today. You guys have a fantastic day. Have a good night.